Hi, Doug Sleater here from the CPA Technology Advisor, June-July 2007, QuickBooks Advisor column. This column is about merging QuickBooks inventory items. Beware if you try. I recently got a question from a consultant in the field who attempted to repair her client's file by merging inventory items. QuickBooks does allow you to merge inventory items, but most likely your financial statements will be a big mess after the merge. Before we look at the merging issue itself, let's first look at what got the client into trouble in the first place. The goal of the client was to have separate pricing for each item based on the customer type. So on one item, they wanted the price for wholesalers to be $30 a unit and the price for retailers to be $40 a unit. But of course, these are just different prices for the same actual item. So QuickBooks has this great feature called price levels that helps deal with exactly this type of situation, but evidently the person who set up the system didn't know about the price level function. So here's how they set it up and the disaster that ensued. They decided to set up multiple inventory items for each actual item. So setting a different price on each of these multiple items for each price level. Then on sales forms, the user would just pick whatever item was priced at the level for that customer type. This might seem to work, but it sure creates a mess if you're trying to keep tight controls on your inventory. The problem is that now you have two items. Every time you purchase the product, you have to record a purchase for both of those items. This turns out to be quite a pain because you have to allocate the total cost of the purchase among the multiple items, all of which are really the same actual item. Also, every time you sell the item, you have to pick the item with the correct sales price. This may seem simple at first too, but it sure gets painful when you have thousands of items. Also, consider that the item list in QuickBooks Premier and below is limited to 14,500 entries. So if you create two or three or four or five items for each actual inventory item, you're going to run out of room pretty quickly. Anyway, so I've seen this type of problem several times before, and I imagine that many of you, if not most of you, will eventually run into the same or similar problem at some point in your consulting career. And, of course, you'll arrive on the scene after thousands of transactions have already been put in the system, which handcuff you to fix not only the list problem, but also to deal with the underlying data that may go back for years. It's the data and the financial reports that make this problem really hard to fix. So the first idea you're going to have is, well, I know, I can just go to the item list and merge these items, just like this consultant did. Since they're really the same item, we just go to the item list, rename them to the same item, and two items all of a sudden become one. And, of course, this changes all the historical transactions to point to this single merged item. Well, it sure sounds perfect, but hold on a minute. Let's look a bit deeper. First, let's review the accounting behind the scenes when you use inventory in QuickBooks. When you purchase an inventory item, QuickBooks debits the inventory asset for the amount of the purchase price. That's the total amount of the purchase price is your debit to inventory. Now, when you sell inventory, QuickBooks credits the inventory asset and debits cost of goods sold for the average cost per item at the time that item is sold. So as purchases occur, the average cost will fluctuate up and down to reflect the average cost of all those units on hand at the moment. The purchase debit always equals the total units times the total cost per unit for that particular purchase. But the credit to inventory when you sell the items fluctuates with the average cost of all the units on hand as of the sale date. So now let's look at the problem that can occur when you merge inventory items. I say can occur because it doesn't always have a problem. It just usually will have a problem. So let me give you some examples. When you merge inventory items, you know QuickBooks will merge all the historical transactions, including the purchases, the sales, the average costs, and everything. While at the same While this may seem fine, the results sometimes cause prior period financial statements to change, which is almost never what you want to have happen. So in the table listed in the column in the magazine, which I'll try to describe here for you, I want you to notice what happens to the balance in the inventory asset when two inventory items are set up with different costs, followed by purchasing, selling, and merging. The table shows two examples. The first example shows how it works all fine if the quantities are the same, but this and the costs are either a multiple of the first, and so the second item cost is twice the amount of the first item. Things work out, but in the second example shown in the table there shows how things really go haywire when the purchase and sale quantities are all over the map. Of course, the second example is much more likely to be the case when you arrive on the scene, but still let's compare these two scenarios. So example one, let's pretend you set up two items, test one and test two, we'll just start widget one, widget two. The cost of widget one is $10 and the price is $30. The cost of widget two is $20 cost and price is $40. Okay, so on the first item you had a cost of 10 and a price of 30. The second item you had a cost of 20 and a price of 40. Now keep in mind that those are actually both the same actual item. We're just in our item list setting these two items up to reflect different pricing for our price level scenario that we're trying to manage. Okay, so now let's talk about what happens when you purchase it. When you purchase test one, so let's say let's purchase 50 of them at $10, that's $500. So that's your debit to inventory at that point. Let's purchase the second one, 50 units, at $20. So that's $1,000. So now at this point, we have in inventory $1,500, and we have 100 units. So now let's sell test one. Let's sell five of those at $30 because that's test one's price. So we got $150 in revenue there. And let's sell five test twos at $40, and that's $200. So at the end of this setup and the purchases and then the selling, you have the following inventory values. Test one has 45 units at $10 a piece, and that is because the average cost did not fluctuate at all. We just purchased at 10, which kept the average cost to be 10. So we have 45 units of test one at $10. That's $450. We also have test two on hand. We have 45 left because we've sold five of those. And they're at $20 a unit cost, and that's $900. So now we're totaling up test one and test two's values in inventory to get $1,350 in inventory. All right, now what's going to happen when we merge test two into test one, this second item into the first item, because remember they're the same item. So the results in this particular example work out just fine, because by merging test two into test one, the result is you have test one, you have 90 units on hand. Remember we had 45 and 45. And the average cost is $15 because the test one was cost of 10 and test two was cost of 20. Their average is 15. And it was the same number of units of the two on hand. So it just happened to work out because of the numbers that our total revenue value in inventory is still $1,350. So that scenario, very specific, happened to work out. Now let's look at example two. If you set up two items, test one and test two, but now the cost of test one is $10, priced at $30. That's the same as it was in the last case. Test two, now let's say that we set it up with a cost of $25 and a price of $50. Now then let's purchase test one. Again, we're assuming in both of these examples we start from zero and we set the items up, we purchase and we sell. So we've set up two items. Now we're going to purchase test one, 15 units at $10. There's 150 debit to inventory. We're going to purchase 35 units of test two. And that's, they're $25 a piece, so that's $875. So at this point, we've now purchased. Now let's go sell three units of test one, you know, some random number. Let's sell three of them. And they're sold for $30 a unit, giving us $90 in revenue. We're going to sell 13 units of test two at $50 a unit. That's $650 in revenue. So now let's look at inventory, the valuation of inventory. Test one is 12 units on hand because we purchased 15 and sold 3. They're $10 a unit of cost. The average cost is still the same at $10. So that's $120 in inventory value at the end of this. Test two, we purchased 35 and sold 13, so we now have 22 on hand. And their average cost is $25. We only purchased once. The cost was $25. It stays the same. So our total now of inventory valuation is $670, $120 for test one, $550 for test two, that's $670. All right, now let's do the merging sin. Merge test two into test one. And of course, you accomplish that by going into the item list, take test two, edit its name, call it test one. It'll warn you. It'll say, you want to do this? You say yes. And the result is you just have one item at the end of the day, and that's called test one. But what is the value in inventory now? What's the financial statement look like all in the history? Let's just look at this particular small example and notice that test one now has an average cost of $34. No, excuse me. It has 34 units on hand, 12 of test one and 22 of test two. Now, those are the same, so that's 34 units. But their average cost now is $20.50. Well, how did it calculate that? Well, it weights how many were purchased at $10, those test one guys, and it weighs the how many units were purchased at test two, which were purchased at 25, and, you know, it does a calculation. It comes up with the valuation in inventory is now $697. Wait a minute. Before we merged, the total inventory valuation was $670. Now it's $697. And all we did was merge a list and two list items together. So we have just changed financial statements as far back as transactions go for these two inventory items. So as you can kind of see here, we're painting the general picture is the second scenario. And that means that whenever you do this kind of merging, you're likely to cause the financial statements just to go crazy. So I would suggest to avoid doing any merging of inventory items in the future. It's something you can do if you happen to know the data is perfect, as in our scenario one, or if there are no transactions in the file. I mean, frankly, if there are no transactions, just go ahead and delete test two. You don't need to merge because it won't prevent you from deleting something if there are no transactions. So anyway, I wanted to also mention that this problem is exactly the same for all versions of QuickBooks, regardless of year or edition. It's not a bug in the software. It's just a feature that works this way. Because you could say feature, and you're kind of laughing. Well, it sort of has to work this way because of the nature of how average cost works. So it really isn't about the software. It's about average cost and the reason or the methodologies used to calculate them. And so I would consider it a best practice for consultants to avoid any merging of inventory items. So that's all I have for today. The QuickBooks Advisor signing off until next month. Hope to see you at our conference in October. Go to www.sleater.com if you want to learn more about our conference that's sponsored by CPA Technology Advisor Magazine. Thank you, and hope you have a good day.